You don't rest when you're laboring. You're resting when you are reaping the fruit of what you have not labored for. Jesus made a very strong statement. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored.
Welcome to Harvest Family Church. We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. Our prayer is that you would accept this seed of God's word in order to reap from the finished work of Jesus. Join us now for today's segment.
All right, so you know what? We're going to go ahead and we're going to start. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 7. All right. You know, has it been good? You know, has it been good for you, like the things that the Lord has been teaching us about hearing? You know, I don't know. I don't know kind of what it's done for all of us, right? But when as the Lord's been teaching us about hearing, it's interesting how you just your focus kind of changes instead of it's just, you know, I remember years ago the Lord began to teach me about seeking first the kingdom of God, and it was interesting that it almost didn't seem where I was reading. And I know that it's not entirely like that, but it just seemed like that it didn't matter where I was reading, no matter where I was reading, I kept finding something to do with seeking the Lord first, right? And not seeking the things of this world. Well, as the Lord has been teaching us this about hearing, you know, it's an amazing thing how I love it that it doesn't negate the things that the Lord has been teaching us, but it just explains so well and establishes so well the things that He's been saying, right? So let's take a look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 7. He says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Now, none of the rulers of this world knew or understood the wisdom of God, right? Because if they would have known the wisdom of God, right, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But the cool thing, just that if you can continue to see, is that the reason why the world can't know the wisdom of God, right, is because the world can't hear the Spirit of God, right? So, I mean, the big thing is, I mean, really, if you just make it as clear as it can be, right, we have the Spirit of God and the world does not, right? So we're not smarter than the world, right? They're not smarter than us, but the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of the world, right? And the wisdom of the world is foolishness to God. So he says that none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But that, as it is written, eye has not seen and ear heard. And you know what, I've just, every time I read that, I see, you know, it doesn't fit into the human mind, right? It doesn't fit into the human mind. The things that God speaks don't compute in the human mind. They don't make any sense, and that's why it's foolishness. They don't make any sense to the human mind, right? That's why you can't reason the things of God. You just can't, you know, ding, and you understand the things of God, right? It doesn't happen like that. Because eye has not seen, nor ear has ever heard, nor has it entered. You see that? Nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared beforehand, right, for us in Christ, right? The things that God has prepared for us in Jesus for those that love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the Spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. No one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. And I just love this in verse number 12. Now, he said, it's such a clear understanding, right? No one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. And then he says, and that's who you have, right? So that's awesome. So no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God, and we have the Spirit of God. Why would we try to understand? Right? That's why we have the mind of Christ, right? We're not trying. You already have it. No one can know the things of God. No man can understand it. If men could understand it, then the men of this world would have known the wisdom of God, and they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, right? So he says, now we have received that not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. It's just so beautiful, right? That we might know. You see there, it ties nothing into our intellect. It ties nothing into the amount of time that you spend memorizing verses. And even though all those things, right, it's good to read, it's awesome to read the Word of God, and we should read the Word often, right? But we read the Word of God and we pray and we do all of those things hearing, right? We do all those things hearing. And you know, and what's better is, I really think it's just better said in the things that the Lord is teaching us and what we'll go into tonight, that we do all those things by faith, right? So we that ought to just really sharpen when you hear that, faith. The things that the Lord has been teaching us should sharpen that, right? Because if you say that you live by faith, that means you live by hearing, right? So that should just be a constant thing now in our mind, that when you hear, you know, that we do all these things by faith, that means you do them by hearing. Because that's not what it means traditionally to the church. When you say, you know what, because we, you know, you just have to have faith. When you hear somebody tell you that, you know, you're going to get ready to do something, that says, well, come on, you just have to have faith. What you think is, you know, you just have to kind of trust God and just kind of launch out, right? But that's so far from what he's saying, right? Because faith is hearing and perceiving, right? So faith is hearing and seeing. So because you have heard and because you saw, then you do, right? And it's the Lord doing these things, right? Because you understand that it's his life in you. You see, here's the beautiful thing. All of the things that we're talking about, even in our hearing, what we're going to see, it brings us to life. Hearing brings you to life, right? Right? Because John 6:63, he says, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life, right? So when you hear, right, the words that are spirit and that are life, right? The words that the Lord is speaking to you, they're life to you. So what happens when life comes into you? Life produces activity, right? Life is active. Death is still. Death is still. The Lord asks us to be still, but life is active, right? So if you are hearing, you're receiving life. Life leads to activity. See, he says, what does James say? That faith without works is dead. How true is that now? Why? Because that which has no life is what? Dead. Faith, which is what? Comes from hearing. Hearing what? Hearing the word that is spirit and is life, right? So faith is hearing. Faith comes from hearing the word that is spirit and life, that comes from the mouth of the one that has a two-edged sword, right? So when we hear the words that are life, right? Faith, right? So what are we really saying? Faith, when you say that you have faith, what you're saying is you have accepted a word that is living, right? You've accepted and believed the word of Jesus, right? The word of Jesus. So when you've accepted the word of Christ, right? When you've accepted the word of Christ, a word that is spirit and life, what does that produce? Faith. But what does it also produce? Activity of the spirit. Why? Because it's life. Now, if it was death, if you were receiving something that is dead, you would see no activity of the spirit. Why? Because that word is not spirit and it is not life. But anytime, if you see that, anytime that you receive life, right, that will produce activity in you. You're receiving life. You accept it, right? You accept something that's life, so what does it produce in you? Life. When the Lord speaks a word to you about healing, right, and he speaks something to you, right, and you believe it, what happens? What's the after effect of that? Healing. Why is that? Because that's activity, right? So it produces life. So it's not like, because sometimes, I don't know, like we think like maybe it's life in you, it just doesn't come out, right? We already have life in you. When you accept and you take hold of the things that are in you, it's going to produce life, right? It's going to be fruitful, right? That's where fruitfulness comes from, believing, right? Believing. So look at what he says. Eye has not seen, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for him. But he says in verse number 10, but he's revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of God? You know what? We should ought to just stop here and just go, right? Let's go to Mark chapter 11, right? Because I'm just stalling. Mark chapter 11, and look at verse number 20, so what we see before that is that the Lord went to take fruit from a tree. He was hungry, the Bible says, right? And he saw a fig tree in the distance, and he saw that it had leaves on it. So he went to get fruit, and when he got there, it had no fruit. So he cursed it and said, let no man eat fruit from you ever again. right? And then they went to Bethany, I believe. Yeah, they had gone to Bethany, they came to Jerusalem, and then the next day, it says in verse number 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, he said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to him, have faith in God. Now here, listen, I'm telling you, I have heard it taught. I have the Lord over the years has taught a lot of things from Matthew chapter 11, right? But listen to this now. Just in light, just if you right, just include and don't let go of the things that he's been saying. Have faith in God. So the minute you read that, have faith in God, what is that already implying in your mind? That faith comes by hearing. So you can't have faith in God without hearing, because, right, you have to hear to have faith. So he says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. So that automatically, Jesus is encouraging us to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church, right? Because if you can hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church, that's where faith comes from. Faith comes from hearing what the Lord is saying, right? So he's basically saying, what he's basically saying is, listen to the Spirit of God. So he just gets done doing this thing that they thought was like, wow, look at that. He just spoke to the tree. What did he do? He spoke to the tree. So what happened? His words produced an effect. So the Spirit of God spoke through him, right? And it produced an effect outwardly, right? And it produced, so the Father working in him produced that outwardly. So that wasn't, you know, Jesus didn't just make a decision to curse it and to kill it by his own will, right? Because he said, I have not come to do my own will, but to do the will of the Father who sent me. So this was done on purpose, right, by the Lord, and I'm probably guessing that it was for the purpose of teaching them, right? But the thing is, it was done, so that was the Father doing his will through him. He spoke to it, it was cursed, and it was done. So here's what he teaches them. He's saying is, you want to know how I did that? Here's what he said. Have faith in God. In other words, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. So after he says that, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, he says, for assuredly I say to you, that whoever says to this mountain, so let's stop for a second. If he says, and I'm reading from verse 23, right? So he says, for surely I say to you, for whoever says to this mountain. So what do you already have to know before you got to the say to the mountain? Because here's a truth that we've been told, right? That if you really look at that verse, look, how many times does it say? So there is power in what you say, right? Because look, and it says, for surely I say to you, that whoever says to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in the heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have wherever things he say it. So therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, you'll have them. So what he's talking about is about the saying, right? How powerful it is in the saying. But you know what we know? Here's where he started off. He started off that verse by saying what? Have faith in God. Because what that means is that you can, if you say something, right? If say something, so let's talk about it for a second. If you say something without it being in faith, it basically has no effect, right? But if you have faith in God and you speak and it happens, right? You receive what you say, right? So then what is the difference? The difference is that it's not you saying it. The words of men don't produce anything. The words of men, we know that. The words of men don't produce anything. Because the world, if the words of men could produce it, then men would do it, right? But obviously it's the word of God. So that's why he starts off saying what? Have faith in God. So when he says, surely I say to you that whoever says to this mountain, but you can't, here's what we can't do. We can't let go, and it's such a cool thing, and I don't know how sometimes it gets overlooked. When you see this, you see, he says, whoever says to this mountain here, right? Whoever says to this mountain. So before you can say, he said, have faith in God, right? And before you can have faith in God, you have to hear. And before you can hear, you have to hear what the Lord is saying, right? What the Spirit of God is saying. So everything in what is said that moves a mountain comes from hearing. Right, everything that is said. So people can say and confess all they want, but if they didn't start in the hearing, and they're not saying what he's saying in them, then it's faith without works, and it's dead, right? Because the only way, and this is just such a cool thing to see, that the only way that faith is not dead, The only way that faith is not dead is if it's alive, right? And the only way it's alive is if it comes from the mouth of God, right? And His Word is Spirit and it is life, right? So for such a long time, we're like, you know, we want to confess and we want to say that which is positive instead of saying or speaking something over yourself that is negative. But it's really not about that, is it? It's that you're in a circumstance. So what do you want to say? You set your mind and you acknowledge the Lord. And you just begin to meditate on the things that He puts in your heart, whether they're associated with what you're going through at that time, and whether you understand exactly why He's putting that in your mind, right? You just go to acknowledging Him on the inside of you, and it's just, you just go to hearing, right? Because that's a critical thing for the church to learn, right? Because how can the church live by faith if we don't live by hearing? Right? Living by faith is just living by hearing, because that's where it comes from. So if we're living by it, we must be hearing constantly, right? Hearing constantly. So He says, let's look at it again. So He says, "For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart." You see that? Doesn't doubt in his heart. But listen to what we kind of have been sort of told that that means. That doubting in your heart is, well, you just don't believe the Word of God. But it's a little bit more than that, right? It's that the Lord speaks something to you, and when He speaks it, you believe that, right? And if you believe what the Lord speaks to you, right? If you believe that, and it's said, it's spoken, so the Lord speaks something to you, He's teaching you something, and you believe it. So that word that you just believe, it's spirit and it is life to your flesh, right? It's life, just to everything, right? It's life to you. You're receiving from the life that is in you. So you're reaping from what you have not sown. You're taking from what you already have. You're reaping from a harvest that is in you. You have life in you. You have the spirit of life in you. You're governed by the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's where you are, right? Right? The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So when you allow Him to speak, Him who is life on the inside of you, you allow Him to speak and you believe it. When you believe and you don't doubt what He says to you, right? Then what does he say? He says, if you don't doubt in your heart, if you don't doubt in your heart the things that the Lord is speaking to your heart, when you don't doubt in your heart the things that He's speaking to in your heart, but you believe that those things that He says will be done, but believes that those things He says, you know, that's funny. Right? For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things He says. Can you switch over to King James Version just real quick, all the way on the right hand side there? Yeah. Yeah, 23. Can we go up? Verily I say unto you. Right? Verily I say unto you, whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he saith. You know, I just saw this, right? But it's just an interesting thing that the emphasis, if you really look at it, and we could, I haven't looked at it, I just want to point it out because I think it's pretty cool, but you see what he says? He says, but shall believe those things which he saith. Now, what we look at it as is that's talking about the things that you say. But you know how you could also look at that, right? Does not doubt those things which he saith. In other words, him, God, right? The one that you're having faith in. So if you believe the things that he saith, and can I say something? Even if we were to read a translation and that's proven out, regardless, the concept is the exact same thing, right? The one that you're believing is the things that he's saying in you, right? When you believe what he's saying. But in so many times, imagine this, how many times do we try to quote unquote have faith, but we haven't listened to him at all? Actually, we don't even know what he's saying. We know what he's written in his word about something, but we don't really know what he's saying. So we really can't have faith because we really don't hear what he's saying, right? And because we don't hear what he's saying, we try to say things, right, that are supposedly faith, but you see what that is? It's faith, but it's without works. It's nothing. And what he's saying is it's dead. It's dead. Why? Because life comes from where? Life comes from the word that he speaks. Life comes from the word that he speaks. We can go back to New King James if you don't mind, Andre. So he says, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done. You know, I just like that, because believes that those things which he says will be done. He doesn't say that believes that those things which he says, right, he will do. He says, it will be done. Will be done by the same one that said it. Right? Because it's God that brings His word to pass. Men don't bring the word of God to pass. God brings the word of God to pass. Right? What do? We hear it and we believe it. We hear it, we accept it, right? And then what happens? We're fruitful, right? We produce a harvest. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them, right? Whatever things you ask when you pray. So it's funny. How are we supposed to pray? How are we supposed to pray? The prayer of what? The prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. How do you pray in faith? Well, you have to pray. People have always said, right? You have to pray in line with His will, right? Right? It should be, you should pray in line with what He's saying, right? Because if you're supposed to pray in faith, that's the only way I can pray in faith, right? You can't pray in faith if you can't hear what He's saying, right? You're going to try to have faith, but the only way that you can pray in faith, and faith comes from hearing, so you pray, right, what you hear. What did Elijah do? He prayed, or said, right, what he heard. The Bible said that Elijah prayed that it would not rain for 3.5 years, and it didn't. Why? Because Elijah believed what he heard the Lord say, and it was said. Did Elijah say it? No. Did David say those words to Goliath? No. Right? So who said them? God said them through those men. And who brought it to pass? God brought it to pass. Exactly like He said. Exactly like He said. So that's why it could come out of Elijah to say, only at my word. Why? Because only His word gives life. Only His word can bring rain. Right? Only His word can bring rain. That's just good. That's just good. Only His word can bring rain. Thank you, Lord. You know what? Let's go and take a look real quick. John 6. Let's look at that verse real quick. John 6, 63. It's actually 61 is fine. John 6, 61. And this is just obviously right at the time, and we've been in John 6 for a long time, right? So He's already explaining to them about eating His flesh and drinking His blood, right? And He's talking to them about coming to Him. And in verse number 61, He says, when Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples complained about this, He said to them, does this offend you? What was offending them? The word that He was speaking to them, that is spirit and that it is life, was offending them, right? It was offending them. And what did you, what then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where He was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. So He begins there, and there's a lot more probably to see there, but just let's hone on what He's showing us, right? He says, he makes it clear to them, it is the Spirit that gives life. It is the Spirit that gives life. So He says, it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. So it profits men nothing, because what He's talking about is hearing, right? What He's talking about here is hearing. The eating and the drinking that He's talking about is receiving from what has been given and provided in Jesus, right? So He says, I've been provided unto you. Take, eat, and drink, right? So that's hearing. Hearing. Coming to Him is hearing also. So He says, does this offend you? And then he says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. So it's awesome to be able to see that the fleshly mind, and this is where we'll get into Romans 8 a little bit, that the carnal mind can't understand the things of the Spirit of God. Because the reason why we can understand the things of the Spirit of God is because the Spirit has been given to us. So of course we can. Right? Why? Because He's been given to us. So we can understand because we have the Spirit of God and we've been united with the Spirit of God. So therefore we hear what He's saying, right? We hear what He's saying, and it's been given to us to know. But now, and then it's interesting because the thing that we'll see is that the things of the Spirit have to be spiritually discerned. They have to be spiritually examined. They can't be carnally examined, right? You can't take a spiritual truth. You can't take a word from God that is spirit and life and then analyze it carnally with this. Right? Can't. That's leaning on understanding that we don't have. We don't have the mental capacity to understand what God says, right? Right? But we can hear what He says and we can accept it, right? We can hear, accept it, and that's faith. Hear and accept it, that's faith. So He says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. So it cannot be profitable. It cannot be profitable for the flesh, right? For the flesh to try to understand. Remember what He's talking to them about. They're offended. Why are they offended? Because they are carnally interpreting what He's saying. So it's offensive. So the gospel is offensive, or the gospel is foolishness when the gospel is preached, right? And it's received with a carnal mind, right? It's foolishness, or it can be offensive, right? So he's ministering to them on a great truth, right, about what he is to us, the bread of life, right? And it offends them, and he says, you know, he says, the Spirit is the one that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. So he's saying you hear by the Spirit, not by the flesh, right? And then he says, the words that I speak to you, the words that I speak to you are Spirit and they are life. The words that I speak to you, they are Spirit and they are life. So if you ever looked and there's always a life that God wants to give to us, right? Out of what He has given. He came to give us life and life abundantly, right? So the life and life abundantly that He came to give us, He gave it fully and gave us His Spirit of life, and now He calls us to drink from that same well, right? To be able to receive from what has already been given and take from that. Take from that. How do we take from that? Hear what He's saying and believe it. How often is He speaking? Right? The Lord said, hear what the Spirit of God is speaking to the church. He's always speaking to His church, right? Always speaking to His church. Always, all the time. Right? In all of the years that you guys have been coming, there's never been a time, you know, that we've said, well, you know, we just don't know exactly what to preach. You know, we just ran out of subjects or whatever. Right? There's always something. Anytime that you sit down by yourself and you just close your eyes and you say, Lord, He can flood your mind with more than you're able to actually take at that time. The Lord holds back things from us because we're not able to handle it yet, right? We're not able to take it. We were just talking about this, right? Like, you can't get to point G without going through A, B, C, D, E, F, right? He has to build. He has to build what He's teaching, right? All of the things, they're good. All the things that the Lord has been teaching us about faith, and that you have to have faith, and that it's important to speak, and all of these things. But it's just when you look and see the root of it all, right? The root of it all, as far as we've been able to see now, right, is what? Hearing what the Spirit of God is saying. Hearing what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. That's why he, you know, it's so blessed the man that reads the Word of God, right, and understands it, right? Because if we can understand by the Spirit of God the things that He's speaking to us, right, and we can hear, like He says in Revelation over and over and over again, we must have read it, I went through so many references over and over and over again. He says it every single time to every single one of the churches that He writes to, that you would hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church, right? It's critical. That's such an important thing. So He says, it's a Spirit that gives life. It's a Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are Spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray Him. And He said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. So it's cool the way He mixes that in there, right? And we won't go into that because we know there's other things there. But obviously with the coming to me, and that we know that it's the Father that leads people to Jesus, right? Because it's the Father that is what? That is revealing His Son by His Spirit in order so that we would see Jesus and know Him, right? So it's just cool that way. It's good. The Father wants to make Himself known, and He's revealed Himself through the Son. For no one knows the Son except the Father, right? No one knows the Father except the Son. Okay, you know what? Let's go where we said Romans chapter 8 then. I thought it was something else, but this is good. Romans chapter 8. So Romans chapter 8 and in verse number 1. This is good. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, right? In Christ. So you know that being in Christ is having His Spirit. That's being in Christ. You have the Spirit of God, so we're in Christ. Because He says those who are in Christ who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, right? Don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So our heart, and what we're going to see over and over again, He's going to say it, our heart is inclined to want to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Not inclined to the flesh. Inclined to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Watch what He says. He says, for the law, and it's awesome that He talks about it as a law, the law of the Spirit of life, that is in Christ Jesus, because we have a Spirit, right? He's going to say it even better. But the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, and weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son. So let's look at that again. So in verse number 1, He talks and He says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, right? So just keep those words there, in Christ Jesus. Then He says, who don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. So we are in Christ, right? And because we're in Christ, there's a law in operation there. Because we're in Christ, there is a law. In other words, an inflexible government, right? An inflexible government on the inside of us, right? And the inflexible government is what? Life. The law of the Spirit of life, right? On the inside of us. Inflexible, right? Inflexible. In other words, anytime that you hear, you receive life. Every single time. That's why it's so certain that every man who asks, receive. He who seeks, finds. He who knocks, the door will be open. Why? Because it's a law. The law of the Spirit of life is an inflexible guarantee, right? Just like the law of sin and death was like the wages of sin is death. If a man sins, he dies, right? Just like that was inflexible. And it didn't matter who it was or what day it was or how you felt, right? But sin led to death, right? Now we're governed by the law of the Spirit of life. So every time you hear, every single time you receive life. That's a law, right? That's a law. And that law is in Christ and only in Him, and it's because of Him. And He says it in a second, He'll clarify it even more. But He says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, thank you, Lord, has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Right? We're inclined that way. For those who live according to the flesh, here's what it says. Those who live according to the flesh, what do? They set their minds. What are they doing? They hear. They hear what? The cravings and the lusts of the flesh. That's what you listen to. That's what you hear, right? But he says, but they set their mind. They set their mind. In other words, their heart is inclined that way. Their heart is inclined that way. But look, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, which is us, the things of the Spirit, right? For to be carnally minded is death. But listen to the guarantee. These are just ironclad things, right? That to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Life and peace. To be spiritual. So because you're inclined that way already. When you go ahead and just lean that way entirely in your life, right? Just lean hard that way. That, you know what? That's the way you already lean, and that's the way you already bend, because you have been given the Spirit of life in Christ. So you know what? So you bend, you lean already to hear. So that's what you're gonna do. So you desire to hear the things that the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Why? Because you want to partake of what? Life. Because to be spiritually minded. So to be spiritually minded. So we have there's a mind that we have that's being renewed, right? But it's not that mind that we want to put to work, right? It's the mind of Christ. In other words, hearing what the Spirit is saying, because the Spirit in us is the mind of God, right? The Spirit in us is the mind of God, because only the Spirit knows, right? Only the Spirit of God knows the things of God. So for all intents and purposes, what we're seeing is, in you have the mind of Christ. Who is the mind of Christ? The Spirit of Christ in you is the mind of Christ, right? That's who you have in you. Right? Jesus said, I have not come to do my own will, but the will of the Father. How is the will of the Father done in Him? Because He had the Spirit of God on the inside of Him, right? Now we have that same Spirit on the inside of us. So therefore we have the mind of God. Why? Because only the Spirit knows the mind of God. And now we have Him. So therefore, there you go. Now we have Him, right? It's not like we have something different, like the mind of Christ is some other thinking thing that He's put beside our brain, right? He's given us the Spirit of God. That's the mind of Christ. That's the mind of Christ. So he says then, because the carnal mind, he says, is enmity, hatred, divisive against God. For it is not, look at what he says, for it, the carnal mind, is not subject to the law of God. What law of God? The law of the Spirit of life, right? The law of the Spirit of, so the carnal mind can't subject itself to the law of the Spirit of life, right? Because why? It's enmity against God, right? So because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Why? The carnal mind cannot accept the things of God, right? Look at what he says. He says, so then, it says, verse number 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh, what does he say? Cannot please God. Why does he say that? Because it's impossible to please God without what? Faith, right? That's not a coincidence. What he's saying is, it's impossible to please God without faith. So to be spiritually minded, right, is to live by faith. But how do you live by faith? Hearing. That's why he's making a point, right? You set your mind on the things of the Spirit. You delight in hearing the Word of God. The Word of God, the Word that proceeds out of his mouth, right? That never returns unto him void, that always, he always accomplishes what he desires, right? So he says, but you are not in the flesh, verse number 9. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So he clarifies that so that you don't think that you got like this battle going on, right? Right? There's not two of you in there fighting. He says, you're not in the flesh, you're in the Spirit. And what's the qualification of that? If the Spirit of God dwells in you, then you're in the Spirit. Then you're in Christ, right? Then you're in Christ, then you're in the Spirit. But if you're not in the flesh, but you are not in the flesh, you're in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. So here's the cool thing. The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Righteousness that came from Jesus, right? So we are righteous, right? So therefore we have been qualified to have the Spirit of God and to partake because he's made us righteous, right? So he says, the body is dead because of sin. He said, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. What he does is he's just saying, you have permission. You have permission. You have a right. If he says, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So what is that? The right that God has given you to take from the life that he put on the inside of you. He's given you full rights now to be able to become a partaker of the life that you have. And you have an assurity because it is a law that every single time that you hear, you will receive life. Every single time. Every single time. It's an inflexible thing, right? It's the law. Thank you, Lord. It's a law, right? So he says, verse number 11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, that's the Spirit of life, right? That raised Jesus from the dead. If that Spirit dwells in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. How do you know? What's one indication that that's talking about, that you know that it's now, right? It's now, because we know that there will come a day, right, where the Lord will give life, right, where the mortality will be swallowed up by immortality, right? But if you are asleep in Christ, right, the Spirit of God does not dwell in you. Right? So if it was only talking about that day, it wouldn't say that it would be, you receive life from the Spirit of God who dwells on the inside of you, right? Who dwells in your mortal body. Because not everyone is wearing their mortal body right now, right? Some people have shed their mortal body and they're in a sleep in Christ, and God will raise up that mortal body. But that body that is raised up is not raised up, right, from the Spirit of God that's in that body, because the Spirit is not in that body right now, right? The Spirit is in the person who is asleep in Christ, right? So that's an important thing to see, that it is true that the Spirit that is in us will give us life that day. But we can't discount today, right? You don't discount today by saying, well, okay, yeah, give life to my mortal body, so that just means that day. Because what he's talking about, everything that he has said is about now, not the day. Right? Everything, every single thing that he has talked about right now is talking about now and not that day. So he's saying there, so if we read it again, he says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body, this body, through the same Spirit who dwells in you. So the Spirit that dwells in you, he was saying, if the Spirit of God does not dwell in you, then you are not his. But since the Spirit of God dwells in you, then you know that he's talking to you about now. Will you receive life from the Spirit in you then? Yes, right? But not necessarily from the Spirit that's in your mortal body, right? Because if you have shed your mortal body and you're asleep in Christ, you're not carrying around your mortal body as you're asleep in Christ, right? So it's just good to be able to see, will it happen then by the Spirit in you? Yes. But what is he talking about here in this verse? Now is what he's talking about. Right now is what he's been talking about, is right now. Right? Through his Spirit who dwells in you. Through his Spirit who dwells in you. Let's see. There's a verse in Matthew. Yeah. Matthew 11:25. You know, and the good thing about that is, regardless of Because there's other verses that talk about so many things about that day and the now. So the cool thing that the Lord has taught us, just so we have that present in our mind, is that everything that will happen that day comes from what we have already received on the inside of us now, right? So we know that He's made us partakers now of what we have, right? And we will fully partake that day, but He's made us partakers as much as we are willing to receive from Him now. We can take now, and that day we'll see Him fully as He is, but it's cool that we know that it's from the Spirit of God that's on the inside of us, right? We know that it's from the Spirit of God on the inside of us. So there's no quarrel in our mind whether we can take now or can't take now, right? We know that. We've seen that many times. So 11:25, He says, at that time Jesus answered and said, "Thank you, Father," right? So he's praying. "Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise. You've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him." And then he says, so he's talking about showing us, right? And he's talking about teaching us, and he's talking about us hearing, right? And then he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So he's plainly talking and saying, no one knows the Father except the Son. No one knows the Son except the Father and the one whom He chooses to reveal Him. And then He says, "Come to me. Come to me," He says. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And we've seen that labor and that heavy laden is by there's a word there, the way that they translate that Greek word, that means like almost like from religious ceremonial things, right? Like from religiosity, from things that are not true, right? That labor, that burden instead of lightening, right? Like the Pharisees, he says that they wouldn't even lift one finger to lighten their burden, right? That's the kind of thing, the kind of spirit that he's talking about. But he says, "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." He says, "I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." So you know what you do? Don't separate verse 28 from verse 27. Like, put them together and see how beautiful that is, right? Because he's saying, nobody knows him except me, and if I want to reveal him to you. And he says, and then he says, "And if you come to me, you can learn from me, because I'm lowly and gentle heart, and I'll show him to you, and you'll find rest for your soul." Right? So put it together, don't read it separately, because it's good like that. So he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me, I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So you know, that's a cool way. Just to end that little bit right there, in just when he says that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, we were praying in pre-service prayer about the way we were saying about just that he wants us like to enjoy our life, right? That he wants us to enjoy our life and not be burdened with things that we have no business being burdened with, but just to be able to enjoy our lives. And I'm going to tell you that you can see how that enjoyment comes from hearing. Because in John 17, he said, "I have said these things to them, and they have believed the word that you have given me." But he says, "I have said these things to them so that their joy, so that their joy may be full, so my joy may be fulfilled in them." Right? So you see how awesome it is that the life that he's talking about from people that hear, right, that attached to that are obviously all the fruits of the Spirit. But one of the awesome things, right, of the fruit of the Spirit is joy, right? That the joy of the Lord is yours, and all you're doing is just hearing Him, right? And that He never overburdens you. He never says something to you to burden you. Never says something to you so that you'd be concerned and worried about it, right? But you hear Him, and what you're hearing is not burdensome. But it's always easy and it's always light, because the things that he speaks are not for us to do, right? He doesn't speak something for us to do, right? He tells us, right? He tells us these things so that we would have faith in him, so that we would believe the word of God and have faith. And when you have faith, the Lord can speak through you and He can do those things, but He does them. He does them just like He's always done it in the past, just like He's always done it through every single man or woman of God. And He's been saying that for so many weeks already, right? Every single man or woman of God that has ever done anything for God, God has done it through them. They did not do it, right? So for them, it was easy and it was light. How hard was it for Elijah to make it rain? Well, it was pretty easy because he didn't make it rain. How hard was it for Elijah to stop the rain? And how hard was it for him to really truly believe and have faith that it wouldn't rain? Well, it wasn't hard because he heard the word of God and he just believed it, right? He heard the word of God and he just believed it. And it's because he believed it, the Lord spoke that through him, right? So it wasn't hard for him. It's not hard. That's what he says. He's just a man just like you. And he said he prayed that it wouldn't rain and it didn't. And he's a man just like us, right? But the prayer of a righteous man avails much. Why does the prayer of a righteous man avail much? Because the prayer of a righteous man is a prayer of a man that understands that he has a right to receive from what he's been given, right? So that's why it avails much. Why? Because the man that prays what God is saying, right? But a man that hears what God is saying and believes it, and God speaks those things through him, right? The man that speaks those things, right? Right? It has great effect, right? It's profitable. So that's really the only place that the Lord really wants to bring us, right? It's to a place where our lives are just profitable. Profitable for us, but profitable for the kingdom, right? But of course profitable for you, right? Because everything that the Lord did through Elijah, through Jeremiah, was always profitable, right? What happened to Elijah in the middle of the famine? He was kept. He was provided for. He was taken care of, right? And what was the only thing he was doing the whole time? And the word of the Lord came to Elijah. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah, right? So what all we have, and the word of the Lord came to you, and you just rested, right? So that's just good. The word of the Lord comes, and we believe it, and we rest in that. We have faith, right? Because faith is rest. We know that, right? Let's just read just one last thing, right? Hebrews chapter 4, right? One last thing. Hebrews chapter 4. Yeah, just that's been, God is good. Because that's just been an important thing, you know, when He says today. That's been like He goes, and it rings a bell in my head, right? Today, right? Because isn't it, it's always about today, right? Well, I didn't hear the voice of God yesterday. No, it's today. Yesterday's gone. Today. Will you hear today? So He says, right, Hebrews chapter 4, just to start from verse number 1. It's a small little thing. It says, therefore, since the promise remains of entering His rest. What rest? His rest. What rest is that? The one that we just read about, that He said, come to me. Right? That rest. A rest, it remains for the people of God. He said, come to me and I'll give you rest. What's the rest that remains? Right? For the church to come to Him. That's the rest that remains. For her not to work, but to come to Him. That's the rest. He said, I'll give you rest. You'll find rest for your souls. That's the rest He's talking about, right? That's the rest He's talking about. Hearing and accepting. That's the rest. Hearing what He says and resting in that. That's rest, right? That's why faith comes from rest, because faith comes from hearing. So obviously rest is going to come from hearing, right? So he says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it, right? Which is hearing. For indeed, and right there. So we know that it's hearing. Why? Because look at the verse that He says, for indeed the gospel was preached to them. So what is He talking about? Hearing the gospel is what He was talking to them about. It was preached to them, but they didn't hear it. Look at what He says, right? The gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard, right? The word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So what happened? They heard the gospel, but they didn't believe what they heard, right? So if they didn't believe what they heard, obviously faith is not going to be there, right? Because you have to hear. Because faith does come from hearing, for sure, right? But you have to believe what you hear, right? Faith doesn't come from hearing if you don't believe what you hear, right? So it wasn't mixed with faith, meaning what? They didn't believe it, right? They didn't believe it. So it says, so for the gospel indeed was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed, right there, right? For we who have believed do enter that rest. We who have believed, we who come to the Lord Jesus, right? And hear what the Spirit of God, right? What the Spirit of Christ is speaking to us, we enter that rest. We enter that rest. And that rest is life to you. That rest is life to you. That rest is the land of Canaan, right? You enter, you're taking from that land. You're taking from the land, right? You're taking from the land that you've been given. You're taking from the land. He says, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Verse number 4, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains in Jesus, right? It remains that some must enter it. And those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, which is unbelief. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it is said, today for us, right? Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. But there's an effect of that, right? That if you hear his voice and you don't harden your hearts, right? Right? If you don't harden your hearts, he says, for if Joshua had given them rest, or Yeshua had given them rest, then he would not have afterward have spoken of another day. Therefore, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God, for us, right? For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest any fall after the same example of this obedience, for the word of God, right? And that's where it goes right into it. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting deep right into our innermost thoughts and desires, and nothing is hidden from his sight. It's just so good to see what it is that he's talking about. He talks about all those things to say the word of God is living. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life, right? That's the living word, right? The word that he speaks is spirit and it is life. Every single time your life is governed by the law of the spirit of life now, right? If you just believe what he says, not only will you enter into that rest, but you're receiving life. In rest, there is life, right? In rest, there is life. That's good. All right. Let's just close in prayer. That's good. Good stuff. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How much we thank you, Lord. How much we thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for the things that you speak and the things that you say and the way you open our eyes and the way you break things down for us, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for teaching us, Lord, for teaching us so precisely, Father, teaching us beyond the words of men. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us, Lord, directly by your Spirit, the Spirit that we have on the inside of us, Lord. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for teaching us, Lord. Thank you that you'll teach us more things about life to our mortal body, Lord. Thank you that you'll teach us more things about that. But we thank you, Lord, that we can know with all certainty that we do partake and receive life from the Spirit that dwells in our mortal body right now. And that same Spirit is the same Spirit that rose you from the grave, Jesus. That same Spirit you put on the inside of us. And we thank you, Lord, that your Spirit speaks your word to us. Your Spirit speaks your word to us. And the word that you speak to us, it is spirit and it is life to us. And only the Spirit can give life. Only the Spirit can give life. So we thank you, Lord, that in us we have the life-giving Spirit. Only your Spirit can give life. And inside of us we have the life-giving Spirit. The life-giving Spirit, Lord. And we have been given a right. We have been given a right, Lord, to partake. We have been given a right to partake. You see, the Spirit is life because of righteousness, because you have the right. Because you have the right. So thank you, Lord. You've given us the right. You have given us the knowing. You're giving us the word. Lord, we don't need anything else. We don't need anything else. Just to believe what you say. Just to believe what you say. And Lord, how wonderful. How wonderful are the results that come from the life of a man that will hear and believe the things of God. Thank you for the rest. Thank you for the peace. Thank you for the rest. Thank you for the joy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's not a drudgery. It's not a drudgery, Lord. It's life unto us, Lord. Life unto us, Lord. Because today we heard, and today we believe. We believe, my Father, and we nod with our heads, Father, and we say amen. 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 And when we say amen, Lord, we're saying, so be it, Lord. So be it, Lord. The same way Mary cried out and she said, be it unto me according to your word. She heard your word and it was life unto her. and life came into her. Life came into her by Your Spirit. So in our lives, Lord. So in our lives, Lord, when we hear Your word from inside, we say, Lord, be it unto me, Lord, according to Your word. And we thank You, Lord, that life is born. Life is birth, Lord, from in us. Life is birth from in us. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that birthing, the process of birthing, Lord, it all comes from hearing. It all comes then from accepting. Thank You, Lord, from partaking. And thank You, Lord, that we are governed by a law, the law of the Spirit of life, that if you believe, you will receive and you will have. It will be birth. You'll have it. It will be birth. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for so many things that are yet to be birthed. But we thank You in advance, Lord, because we know that You're the only one that can teach them. But we thank You, Lord, for them now. Thank You, Lord, for all the things that will be birthed, Lord. But we thank You tonight. Thank You for joy. A joy, Lord, that passes understanding. A joy unspeakable and full of Your glory. Thank You for joy. And a joy, Lord, that will produce all the more in our lives. That You continue, Lord, to produce joy in our lives. It is a delight, Lord. A delight, Lord, to walk in the Spirit. To walk with You. It's a delight to walk with You, Jesus. And not a drudgery at all. Not even a little bit. Not even a little bit, Lord. We love You and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.
And that concludes our segment for today. This message was recorded at Harvest Family Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Family Church meets at 10:30 a.m. on Sundays, 7 p.m. on Wednesdays, and 7 p.m. on Fridays. You can get more information about HFC online at bringinginTheHarvest.org, or you can call us at 845-295-4560. Thank you for listening.